I'm in the Christians Against Poverty offices in Jubilee Mill, which is why it's so noisy, because everyone's working hard all around us. And I'm with Gareth, and I think you ought to introduce yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Gareth Thompson. I am a CAP Debt Centre Manager, and so I visit people in their homes. I'm also a CAP Job Club Manager. I used to be a client back in 2013, and I work in the head office on the speaker team. So a man of many talents.
Very busy. When Crispin said what you did, I'm like, oh. So we met here today at CAP for the first time. So standard tea drinking questions. Do you ever drink tea?
You know, I'm more of a coffee guy, but if I ever do drink tea, I do have a couple of my favourites.
Okay, so what's your favourite tea?
Green tea.
You're a green tea?
Yeah.
Are you a green tea and lemon or just a green tea?
Just plain green tea.
Ooh.
And I leave the bag in.
Oh, and yeah. Do you have a favourite sort of green tea?
Not really, no. We have Twinings here in the office, so I tend to drink them.
Right. So the next question is, how do you respond to the statement that Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I think it's a very interesting comment. I think some people may look at the church and think that it's dying. They may look at numbers decreasing. I much prefer that the church is stretching, that it's waking up. I don't like the term sleeping either. I think that the church is very much aware of what's going on around it, and I think it's trying to find its feet again and trying to adapt to the ever-changing society that we live in. So I wouldn't say the church is asleep. I would say the church is just getting ready for it to start its day.
Right. That's really interesting, because the reason I'm asking this question is because the figures where I am from is that our Sundays, particularly our Sunday mornings, are decreasing, yeah. But our fresh expressions, which often happen during the week, and some of them are new, kind of, oh, messy church, great stuff, and some of them are like our nursing home communions and our traditional communions that we have in the week.
Yeah.
They're growing, so that's why I'm really interested in this question.
Yeah. I think the traditional aspect of church on a Sunday morning, that it's changing and it's adapting. There are more Saturday night services, there are more midweek services, home groups are becoming more prolific, more churches are doing them. I think the church is adapting and changing to fit society, but also I think there's so many more new things happening that church is not just in church on a Sunday morning. Church is more now so in the community. It's reaching out into those around it, and I think that if you were to just go by Sunday numbers, it would look quite dire, but actually it's moved to other areas and other spaces.
Gareth, how did CAP help you in the past?
So I had quite a rough childhood. I never had any money management experience as a kid. I was homeless at 15. Dad left when I was a child. Just a lot of stuff going on. So life to me, I was just surviving. I never knew anything about how to run a home. I was never taught all the basics that really you should be taught before you leave school. They used to teach it, not anymore. And so I found myself unemployed. I found myself depressed in a room with just a box room in a house after a failed marriage. And I just had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. And I had debts. So my benefit wasn't covering anything, and it was just getting worse. And so actually someone from the local church came and met me at my home. He was a friend from the church, and he just knocked on the door and just said, "Guys, I want to help you out." And so he introduced me to CAP. They then took me through their budgeting course, the CAP money course. Then the back of that, we were like, "Yep, clearly your budget's not stretching. You need the debt help." And so then I went through the debt help, and within a year, I was debt free. We went through a debt relief order, cleared my debts off. And then from that point, I was very much like, CAP is something I want to get involved with and help any way I can.
So were you able to work, or was that from reassigning your benefits and all those sorts of things?
I managed to get a job in the end, but I think what I needed to do is I needed to clear my head of all this other stuff that was going on before I could actually put some focus and energy into finding work and into getting my life back on track and sorting out some of the stuff I had to deal with, dealing with my past and obviously looking at how Jesus is a part of that and stuff. So I had to clear a lot of space to make room to focus, and I think that's what CAP do really well. We come alongside people. Dave was able to sit with me and talk with me and guide me and direct me and give me a little bit of input from his own personal experiences, which then made me kind of trust him a lot more, but also it just helped, because if I'd have been given a budget and left to it, I probably wouldn't have been able to stick to it. I had no accountability. Actually, by Dave being there, he could check in and be like, hey, have you paid into your cap plan this week? When's your next benefit payment coming in? How have you been doing with your food shop? Do you need any help? Like, so by having him there, person there that I could meet with and chat with, just made it so much easier to go through the process.
Mm-hmm. So I guess on a more general thing, I'm really interested in how CAP transforms people's lives in the short term.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering what examples that you could talk about for that. I mean, you've got your own experience.
Yeah, so I can tell you about a client I went to see recently as part of my debt manager role. So I went to see a client. He'd had a 9-year energy bill land on his doorstep. He'd been living in this house, tried to get it sorted when he first moved in. It never got sorted. So 9 years later, he gets this bill and it's about 12 grand. And so he then freaks out, as you would, and calls us. And so we come in, I come into the home and I sit with him, have a chat with him about his situation, what happened, why it was never happened in the first place. And he'd been trying to call them on his pay-as-you-go phone and just could never get through because he was on the hold for so long and he couldn't afford to put money on his phone to do it. Registered disabled, so he couldn't leave his house. He was housebound. And so I just came in, I was like, right, let's make a phone call. And almost immediately, he straight away felt like, oh, great, we can get something done. So I'm sat with him, I made the phone call, had a chat with the energy company, and they were telling me about how, because they'd estimated the bill, that actually they could only charge him for a year. So almost instantly, this massive burden of debt, which was about 12 and a half grand, dropped to 1600. And for him in that moment, that just turned his life around. He was looking at, I'm gonna have to sell stuff, I can't afford to eat. He was really stressed that they would come and cut his energy off. But in that moment, almost straight away, he then just was like, wow, okay, 1600 quid, I can cope with that. I can start paying that back. And we set up his standing order, started getting him to pay his energy bills from that day going forward. And he was just, you know, he'd been waiting 3 months to see me. And in that 3-month period, he'd been really stressing out about it. But when I came in and just sat with him and just with a little bit of knowledge that I have, was able to actually say, yeah, we can help you in that situation, and really, really helped him.
So I've had the tour with Crispin, yeah. And I think a lot of what we were talking about is actually helping people by just being there and say, we can help you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess I see that with people that I'm working with who are in grief and in difficulties. Actually, just knowing that someone can help them is just a huge relief.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak in confidence that you've been around head office. You've seen the powerhouse that it is. Mm. You know, the external affairs team are working on getting deals with energy companies for our clients. We've got, you know, caseworkers negotiating with creditors on behalf of the clients. We've got people taking phone calls from bailiffs and a courts form team, meaning that I can walk into a court with someone who's about to get their house repossessed and give them a support and give them some tips and tools to use in that meeting to make sure that they get the best for them. Having all of that in the background, meaning that I can walk into someone's home and say with confidence, we can help, because I see it and I see everything that we're doing. I see all the work that we're doing and all the stuff that's coming through. And then I'm able to go, like I did a few weeks ago with a client, to court and get her repossession stopped, because we can walk in with quality material, quality resource, and just have the backing of head office. And so, yeah, we can say that with confidence that we can help. I don't think there's any debt situation we've not come across that we've not been able to help in 22 years of doing this.
I'm also interested in how CAP can help improve people's lives in the longer term.
Yeah.
So I guess, how many people do you help out of debt, bounce back into debt, and how many people actually manage to make a long-term transformation?
So we released a client report, not last year, I think the year before, which just went back at least 5 years for all of our clients and asked them if they were back in debt or unmanageable debt, because life, there is some debts you accrue. You know, you get a house, that's debt. So 93% of our clients stay debt-free, which is an immense number in the industry. And a lot of the people, about 82% of those people, stick to the CAP budget that we give them when they first start working with us. So actually, what we're doing long-term for people is we're teaching them money management skills, we're teaching them budgeting, we're letting them kind of see what, how to prioritize money and where it goes and how to use cash and how to make stuff go further. But then also, they're then going to teach their kids that, and then their kids are going to teach their kids. We totally see generational change. We see families sticking together through this, meaning that kids are getting taught this stuff when they leave, when they leave home, and parents are going, oh, you need to do cap money, you need to, you know, you need to speak with cap and get a budget together and stuff. And so we do see that that does have a knock-on effect and affects people way past the point of working with us.
But it's not the only stuff. The debt management is not the only stuff that CAP does, is
it's
it?
It's not, no.
So tell me about some of the other things and the stuff that you do.
Yeah, so job clubs. I absolutely love CAP job clubs. I see about 20 people at least 3 times a year go through the CAP money course here. Go through the CAP job club here in Bradford. And, you know, I see people coming in who haven't worked 2 years, some longer. I've had some guys who haven't worked for 20 years coming in. They feel like they've been written off. They feel like they've got no worth. There's nothing that they can do, or there's nothing they can provide to society. And yet, through the course, we talk about motivation, we talk about obstacles, setting goals, what their strengths are, and we get them to start believing in themselves and build up their confidence and rebuild their CVs and rebuild cover letters and start from scratch. But by the time they get to the end and they've done interview techniques and they've learned how to shake a hand and how to have eye contact and deliver answers confidently, you see them straight away getting more excited about looking for work. They haven't had an interview yet and they haven't been offered a job yet, but they're excited about searching for work because they're excited about the interview before they even get to it. And you just see them just come alive, and then they find work. And when they find work, they come in and telling you, and they're like, yep, yeah, and I'm able to do this now. And then they're coming back to the club because they've made friends and they've got relationships there. I've got a guy who's 60 odd years old, he's retired. He's been coming to Job Club for 2 years. He's never going to work again, but he comes because he just likes the community. He just likes to have people there he can chat with. He's made friends. He feels like he belongs to something. So we do that in our job clubs, but also we do that in our life skills courses. We're teaching people how to live well on a low income, how to make their money go further. We're teaching them how to have healthy relationships and how to actually discuss finances. I don't know how many people who, when they get together with someone, when they come together and bring their finances together, that's a tough conversation to have. And finance is a massive contributor to arguments within relationships. So we teach them how to do that and how to make that an easy conversation to have. We teach them how to, when they're looking at what they're buying with their money, are they buying a packet of crisps ready salted because of the brand, or are they buying it because of the flavour and the value for money? So instead of spending £1 plus on a packet of crisps, they could probably get some own branded stuff at 10-20p. And you just we do a blindfold test. So they try 4 different brands of crisps and try and get them to pick which one's the most expensive. And the results are all over the place throughout the group. So you can just say, look, none of you could pinpoint the expensive one. So why are you all paying for that when you could save £1 plus just by buying some home brand crisps?
I'm smiling because we buy value tortilla chips from a particular supermarket, which are, they're 56p, and if I was buying branded ones, the same sort, they'd be about £2.
There you go.
Now, my budget is not particularly tight at the moment, but they've been a lifesaver for me because I can't have some of the crisps. Because they have gluten in them, believe it or not, crisps,
right.
some brands. So, but they're just as good. Nobody's ever said to me, Janet, these are terrible, when I've served them, and we eat them all the time, and it's just, they don't have any fancy packaging.
I mean, you can see how if you add that up, if you do that across the board with your shopping, and if you, another thing we teach is how to actually plan meals for the week. Most people just buy as and when, a lot of impulse buying, and you tend to spend more when you're doing that. So we teach them how to actually plan their meals out, get recipes together and buy only what you need. And then you buy other stuff as and when you need it. So if they do that across the board, they're buying the cheapest of all of their ingredients because it's going to work in the end when they're mashing it together in a meal. They end up saving 10, 15, 20, £25 per shop. And so actually by the end of the month, they've got enough money to do another full week shop that hasn't come out of their budget because they've just saved money wherever they can. So it's a massive, massive transformation for people.
And those are skills which are also to do with self-confidence, aren't they, I guess? And to do with actually knowing that I can do this, I can plan, I can make a difference, all those sort of things.
Yeah.
And skills which I guess people, I don't know where people lost them historically.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint. I think a lot of people would say that a lot of this stuff used to be in the education system. You used to have cooking classes, you used to have, you know, house classes and stuff like that, like how to run a home. Or their parents haven't taught them it because their parents weren't taught. So at some point, somewhere down the line, someone's fallen out of being taught this stuff and maybe had a rough go of life, maybe never got taught it in some way. They've not passed it on. And so it's just become widespread. So I don't know what it is, but you know, we're here to tackle it. And
so going back to the early 1930s, mid 1930s, so my mum's family were really, really strapped for cash.
Yeah.
And on Friday night they used to have egg and chips.
Right.
Because they could get potatoes and eggs from the milkman. He'd deliver them on Friday morning. And my granddad would bring his wages home on Friday night and the milkman would come for his money on Saturday morning.
So there you go.
And that was how tight their money was, but they had worked out that that was what they could do.
Yeah. It's so. I mean, I've heard so many tips just from other clients who have been doing things to survive, and had to figure out ways of making mints go further. You know, how many different meals you can make with mints. This one person had about 18 different recipes, just because that's all they could afford to buy was cheap mints. And so they would make it go further. They would cook big meals and freeze them and eat them throughout the week. Just little things like that, and like cereals and stuff. Just so interesting what people do when they're trying to survive. But actually, we're just collecting all that info and, you know, giving it out with the confidence of saying, look, during this course, you're going to learn these skills. You're going to start implementing. You're going to teach your kids this stuff too. And then they're going to teach their kids. And hopefully, we don't want everyone to be on a tight income. We don't want everyone to be, you know, struggling, but more people today are struggling, even in work. You know, there's the term in work poverty. Like, how is that even a thing? But it is, and people are struggling just even when they're working, paying the bills. So it's really relevant for people.
I was just thinking about choice and how choices and giving people the ability to choose is important and empowering, part of the kind of a kind of psychological definition of abuse is removing someone's choice from a situation.
Yeah.
And actually that seems to be that actually saying to people, well, you could choose this and you can choose that and this will affect your life in a positive way if you can choose in that way, and actually saying to people you can make that choice is probably having a bigger effect than just their budget.
Yeah, I think you're starting to change people's mind shift. You know, they're thinking more about, well, actually, this decision's worked out well for me. I'm going to be more inclined to make a similar decision in that direction in future. Because if all they've ever had is bad decisions that have gone wrong, and they almost like they get scared of making those decisions, and then you get head in the sand syndrome, where people just don't want to deal with it, and they just avoid it, and things get worse. But actually, by giving them slowly, step by step, bit by bit, confidence in their own decision making, and teaching them new ways of thinking and new ways of tackling stuff, you do see that ripple out into other areas of their life. You know, we see people saving for holidays, but actually choosing a holiday because they want one that's the best value for the lowest price rather than just what they want. Or they're making informed decisions about, well, actually, do I need to find another job to increase my income? Some of the goal setting I've taught them in finding a job, they then put that goal setting into place to getting a better job. Well, what skills do I need? I'll set a goal to acquire that skill. Little things like that. And so you do see that then ripple off into other areas, and they take these tools and use them throughout the rest of their lives, and it really does transform it.
The last question is, what's your favourite thing that begins with T?
Trampolines. I love trampolines.
You're the first person who said trampolines.
What do you normally get? What's your...
All sorts of things.
Yeah. Trampolines. I want to go to a trampoline park and just spend hours bouncing around the place. Yeah, I love trampolines.
Excellent. I'm going to say thank you very much.
No problem.
You for seeing me, Gareth.
Thank you for having me.